Hot Business on Hot 102.7 is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, your partner with sector expertise and tailored solutions to help you grow with purpose and ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. South Africa's jobless crisis has deepened again. Stats SA's latest quarterly labor force survey shows the official unemployment rate rising to 32.9% in the first quarter of this year. That's up a full percentage point from the end of last year. Now listen to these numbers. Over 291,000 people losing their jobs, 237,000 more joining the ranks of the unemployed. The expanded definition of unemployment, which includes discouraged work seekers, now stands at a staggering 43.1%. So, what is driving this decline in labour market participation? Is policy failing, or is the economy simply not geared to absorb job seekers? I'm joined in that respect now by Professor André Roux, economist at the Stellenbosch Business School. Professor, welcome, and let's start with the basics. In a quarter where over 500,000 people either lost their jobs or exited the labour force, what in your view then is the core economic driver of this labour market contraction?
You're quite right. I mean, these are sobering figures. You know, in the longer term, the figure remains above 30%. That's a worrying thing. You know, it goes up and down by 1 or 2 percentage points every now and again, but it's been above 30% since COVID, and above 25% for the last almost 20 years. So it's a chronically high unemployment rate. This particular number, and as you said, the numbers only just come out, so one is still looking through everything. But seems to me that the biggest job losses were recorded in the trade sector and the construction sector. Now, this could be sort of post-holiday season blues. You know, December, leading up to December, people are happy, spend a lot of money, and then realize by January they've kind of overdone things a bit. So it could be partly because of that. It's also partly because in the really long term, structurally, the fact remains that our economy is not absorbing all the new job seekers every year because, and it sounds awfully cruel, they don't have to. You know, there's this myth that seems to suggest that as long as the economy is growing, we'll create more jobs. It's not that simple. You can grow an economy by producing more goods without employing additional people. You might find that a machine as a more effective, efficient, and even cheaper proposition. So the root cause of unemployment is probably a huge army of job seekers who don't have appropriate skills. I'm not saying no skills, don't have appropriate skills. The kind of skills and education that employers are really looking for. That's the fundamental point. There's so many other factors that add to that. Some seasonal factors maybe in some sectors. But also, labor laws, always very controversial, but we've got to bear in mind that if an employer is not obliged to employ somebody, then, and cannot get into trouble for not doing so, then if there are laws applied that apply when you do employ somebody that may get into trouble, you might want to avoid that possibility. So I'm not saying that labor laws are not called for, but they don't really favor employment.
Professor, let me focus on construction and trade, as you've said, shedding jobs. What do you think the signals then about confidence and investment in our real economy?
Yeah, look, the construction industry seems to be in the doldrums, has been for a long, long time. It's probably, I don't have all the detail, it's probably a reflection of stagnation in big spending and construction, you know, investment spending, as we call it, new factories, buildings, infrastructure, etc. In terms of the other sector of the economy, which is also seemingly not employing people, trade, as I said a bit earlier, that's probably a reflection of post-December blues, spending blues, bearing in mind that interest rates, although easing, have not come down as rapidly as many consumers were probably hoping for at the end of last year, bearing in mind that although inflation is coming down, for many cash-strapped households, the cost of living remains exceptionally high. And bear in mind, and this is probably also filtering through in some ways, the global environment of absolute uncertainty, Donald Trump, Trumponomics, you name it. But I think we also need to focus and never forget this, and taking me back to my earlier comment about inappropriate skills or education, that when we look at unemployment amongst young people, we look at those aged 15 to 24. Now, we're not talking about those who are still at school. They've left school. They're actively seeking a job. That unemployment rate is 62%. For those aged 25 to 34, it is just over 40%. And even more worrying is something known as NEETS. Now, that's one of these acronyms that stands for Not in Employment, Education, or Training. Now, in South Africa, there are, there are 10.3 million people aged 15 to 24. Of those 10.3, 3.8 million are NEETs. They're not at school, they're not in any training, and they're not working. They are not employed. That is a horrific number, a scary number. So looks at unemployment very clearly is particularly worrisome and bothersome for younger people.
So, Professor, the numbers that you've just outlined really are eye-watering. At what point, in your opinion, does this number then move from a warning sign to a breaking point for social and economic cohesion?
Well, I don't think there's any recipe that says that, but we must be pretty close to that. Having said that, the fact, you know, we've got an exceptionally high unemployment rate, there can be no denying that. But somehow people are making do, which does possibly suggest that the extent and the magnitude of the so-called informal sector is not being fully captured. And it's difficult to prove or disprove this point, but chances are that many people, including young people, are indeed somehow eking out an existence, albeit in a more informal way. Otherwise, we really would be living in a country of absolute violence, misery, hunger, poverty, you name it. We're not quite there yet. But still, the point remains that going forward, one of the major drivers of job creation here and elsewhere has to be what we call self-employment. It's one of the fastest growing kinds of employment internationally. So part of a long-term solution to unemployment here is to encourage and to really enable and facilitate self-employment, small business entrepreneurship. Otherwise, these figures are going to go from bad to worse.
Professor, let me ask you this, and I want to come back to that phrase of appropriate skills, which I think is absolutely relevant. And you've worked with policy and business leaders in the past. The current employment stimulus strategies that we've got, such as the Youth Employment Service, Public Works, incentives for hiring youth, do you think they're working? Mm. And if not, what do you think needs to change in that respect?
Yeah, I'm afraid that, you know, one welcomes anything. I mean, anything helps, but one doesn't get the impression these things are durable. In other words, I don't think they're really instilling in people skills that will stand them in good stead for the next 20 years. It's kind of just a temporary 6-12 month situation. And that's useful. It gives them a bit of work experience, but certainly not sufficient. We need to stop paying lip service to the idea of education, training, appropriate, you name it. We need to take our education system in its totality, bring it kicking and dragging into the 21st century. We need to improve at school level the quality of teachers, the quality of school management. We need more parental involvement. None of these things yield overnight success, of course, but you've got to start somewhere. Then, as I said earlier, we need to foster from a very early age entrepreneurship in young people. And we need to have mentoring programs. We need to teach them how to run a business. It's one thing having a business idea. It's another thing making that business idea work. In terms of labor legislation, far more difficult, far more controversial. But as I was saying a bit earlier, there's no law that obliges you to employ labor, but are laws that govern what you may or may not do when you do employ labor. So one needs to be, I think, a bit more flexible there.
Professor, I'm going to leave it at that point. As you've said, some very sobering data out today. Just to remind our audience again, that expanded definition of unemployment, which includes discouraged work seekers, now at a staggering 43.1%. That's Professor André Roux, economist at the Stellenbosch Business School. Professor, thank you very much indeed.
When you choose Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, you get access to our transactional banking solutions. Accessing our transactional banking solutions means you'll get a dedicated manager from the country's best relationship bank. When you have a dedicated relationship manager, their business is to understand your business and its financial needs. By understanding all your needs, they can connect you with the right sector and product experts across 15 key African markets. You see, there's transactional banking, then there's transactional banking with us. Search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.